Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in light of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Thank you.
To the Light of Portland broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Kimberly Black, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad that you came to worship with us on tonight. I'm so glad that you chose to be a part of our worship experience. We give glory and honor to God tonight, for truly God is good and he is worthy of all of our praise. This is the first Sunday in May. It's May 3rd, and we are just so excited that you chose to be with us on tonight. We are going to be in store for a treat tonight. I hope that you have been enjoying the day. We just want to take out this time to thank God for all of those that we share this platform with. We thank God for our friend, our sister, our co-laborer in the gospel, Pastor Sherelle Pennington, my sister. There was Batman and Robin, amen. Long Ranger and Tonto, amen. Yeah, that's Pastor Sherelle and I, amen. We work together, amen. And so I'm just so excited, thankful to God for her and her work that she does with the ministry here. We want to honor the Butterfields for their sharing this platform with us, where we can come in your home, come on your job, ride in your car, sit in your hospital room, sit in the nursing home room, wherever you are, we are together turning your space into a place of worship, turning your dwelling place into a place where the Spirit of God can rest, rule, and abide. Amen. And so we're just truly thankful for the Butterfields. We thank God for Archbishop Ruth, the Light of the World International Ministry. We are truly grateful to God for her prayers and for covering us, and then just encouraging us to just stay on the wall and to continue to do the great work that God has assigned to our hands. We definitely don't take it for granted, because we know that God could have chosen anybody. If he lets the robin, the little robin praise him, then we ought to praise him. And so we're just truly grateful to God tonight for all of those that work with us to advance the kingdom of God. We honor our own Elder Dante Farmer, amen, an awesome man of God who works with us right here at the Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church, the best church, the greatest church in the world. Yes, I said it. It's the greatest church in the world. And so we just truly honor God. And we're just so thankful, so grateful, and so appreciative to God for all of the things, to all of the men and women of God who have tuned in tonight to the Light of Portland broadcast. We say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed. I guarantee you're going to experience a time of worship that's going to enlighten you, that's going to strengthen you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to help you continue to pursue your love relationship with God. We do have a few announcements that we would like to share with you. Want to tell you that on this Thursday, May the 7th, it is National Day of Prayer. And for those of you that live here in the city of Portland, you know that every year, Greater St. Stephen's, along with the Maranatha Church of God, we host an event that takes place from noon until 8 p.m., Well, this year, because of the governor's order, the stay at home, stay in shelter, the isolation, the social distancing, we are unable to do our normal National Day of Prayer event. But guess what? COVID-19 has not stopped us, and it will not stop us. I'm inviting all of you to join us this Thursday, May 7th, from 6 to 9, as we give God glory and pray for his glory across the earth. We will be praying from 6 to 9. Was it where? Wow. Where? Just call the same number you called tonight. Amen. Call the same number you called tonight, and you will be able to join us in prayer. And we're looking forward to a high time in the Lord. We will be praying for the churches across the nation, the government. We will be praying for families. We will be praying for education, businesses, and the media, and the military. And so that is this Thursday, May the 7th, from 6 to 9 p.m., to tell somebody to come and be with us as we bombard heaven and we talk to our Father about the things that we are concerned about. Guess what? If we're concerned about them, he is concerned about them too. So that is going to be on Thursday, May the 7th, from 6 to 9 p.m., right here with the Light of Portland family. You are cordially invited. All roads are headed towards Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, you know what? It's going to be time to travel. We're going to be ready to get up out of wherever we've been living for these last 2-3 months. But the Holy Convocation, which is hosted by Bishop Archbishop Ruth Smith, will take place in Atlanta, Georgia. It will be live streamed. Amen. We ain't got to go nowhere. We can live stream it. It will be July 12th through the 19th. So I want to encourage you to remember that date. Mark your calendars for July 12th through the 19th. We will have more information. And if you want more information, feel free to email me at gssmbc at yahoo.com, and I will have that information and I can send it to you. Again, my email address is gssmbc@yahoo.com. Amen. So those are announcements. If your church or your organization, if you're doing anything in the city and you want us to know about it, please email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com so we can share that announcement, so that we can let people know what's happening in our city, because we want people to come and support what you're doing. Amen. And so we are truly, as I say, we're in store for a blessing on tonight. We're in store for a good time. I hope and pray that you are remembering our prayer list. We have a Light of Portland prayer list, and I'm going to give you what we're praying for. It's not specific individuals, but we're praying for groups of people. We are praying for those that are homeless. We're praying for those that are single individuals that live alone during this time of isolation. It's kind of hard to be in a house by yourself all day, all night. All you can do is talk to people on the phone. There's no human contact. There's nobody else to see or bump into or even sit down to share a meal with 3 feet apart. You're by yourself. We're praying for them tonight. We're praying for those that are dealing with mental health issues. We're praying for those that are considering and thinking about suicide. I know that God is a mind regulator. I know that God is a healer. He said in his word that whatsoever we ask in his name, he will do it. And so tonight, we're believing God to be a mind regulator. We're praying for those that have substance abuse, praying that they would continue to hold on to their sobriety during COVID-19. We're praying for those that are living in homes where domestic violence is the norm. My God, they have no way of escaping. They can't take a walk to the park. They can't go to work. They can't go to school. They can't even just get up and go to the doctor's office because they got a black eye or they got a broken wrist. They just have to kind of heal themselves at home because that's not really something that is requiring immediate attention. So we have so much, saints of God, to be praying for, so much to believing God for. And we just truly honor him for his ability to hear and answer our prayer. And we're just so thankful tonight. And we are also praying for those that are sick and shut in. We're praying for those that are not saved tonight. You know, I was reading the other day, it's bad to die of anything. And I'm not just going to say coronavirus, because it's bad to suffer for anything. If you die from complications of diabetes or heart failure or cancer or lupus, that's bad. That hurt. That's sad. But it really is sad for us to die without knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So tonight we're praying for those that are not saved to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so tonight I have invited someone to pray with us and to lead us to the throne of grace. And so I'm asking that you just turn your little space into an altar. You just lay before God, or you stand, or you lift up hands, whatever this person tells us to do. I want you to just provoke the presence of the Lord and go forth in his name.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. God, we just come before you humbly as we know how, oh God. We come lifting up your name, oh God. We come with thanksgiving on our heart, oh God, with praise in our souls, oh God. We come now, God, lifting up this prayer list that the pastor has put before us, oh God. We're praying now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We're going forth, oh God, for the unsaved, oh God. We're going forth for the sick, oh God. We're praying right now, oh God, for somebody that's being abused right now, oh God. God. We pray that you give your hedge of protection around them now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you cover them in your blood, oh God, that you give them peace, oh God, that you give them comfort, oh God, that you give them a song to sing that gives them peace, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We know that you are an omnipresence, God, which means you are everywhere. So now, God, dispense your powering angels in the midst of the nation, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we come gather now, God, on one accord, lifting up the homeless, oh God. Protect them now, God, for the wither, oh God. Keep them warm, oh God. Allow them to be safe, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray now that your glory will fill this place, oh God. Clean the earth, oh God, for we know that you are doing a mighty work, oh God. We know that all things are done in your will and in your glory, oh God. For your word says that there is a time for everything, oh God. There is a time to rejoice, oh God. There is a time to mourn, oh God. There is a time to be praised, oh God. And there is a time to sit still, oh God. And we pray right now, oh God, that you speak as you have a still, oh God. That you move as you have a still, oh God. We pray now that you fill us up, oh God. That you cleanse our hearts, oh God, to be righteous in your sight, oh God. We want to be that light that only one of somebody might see, oh God. Touch the unbeliever right now, oh God. Let them feel your presence, oh God. Let them acknowledge your protection, oh God. Let them seek your face, oh God. Let them come in contact with somebody that knows your word, oh God, so that they can be healed, oh God. They can be set free, oh God. They can be delivered, oh God, so that they can go forth and spread the gospel, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we come right now lifting up every soul that's on this call, oh God. We bless you now, God, for everybody that's on this call right now, God, for this is a national call. This is a national prayer, oh God, and we as believers come forth giving you glory, oh God, giving you honor, oh God, giving you praise, oh God, for you have given us another day, oh God, the first Sunday in May, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. You brought us this far, oh God, and your word promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us, oh God, and we bless you, oh God. We adore you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God, for you are a great God. You are an awesome God. You are an everything, oh God, and we love you today, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. There is nobody greater than you, oh God, for you know our deepest prayers, oh God. You know the loved ones that we're, you know the ones that are in our sick and shut-in list, oh God. You know the ones that need your fresh anointing to fall fresh now, oh God. Send fresh anointing now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Give strength to the weak, oh God. Give comfort to the grieving souls, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for we know that we will have a testimony, oh God, that will save somebody's heart, oh God, that will touch somebody's soul, oh God, to ask what was it, and nobody will be able to, everybody will be able to say it was nobody but God. We know that this all works for the glory of God, and we just come now, God, giving you glory, oh God. We come giving you praise, oh God. We open up our mouths and we say thank you, Jesus, oh God. We say hallelujah, oh God, for we know that you hear our prayers, oh God. The prayers of the righteous availeth much, oh God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh God, for hearing our prayers, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for hearing our cries, oh God, in the middle of the night when you come and you comfort us, oh God. We thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus, for wiping our tears, for you collect our tears, oh God. We thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus, for being our deliverer, oh God, for being our keeper, oh God, for being our protector, oh God. We thank you now, God, for we know that everything works together for them that love you, oh God, and we love you today, oh God. We rejoice, oh God, for you are a great God. We know that you will keep us, oh God. You will heal us, oh God. You will set us free, oh God, for you are our joy, oh God. You are our peace. You are our refuge in the time of the storm, oh God, and we give you thanks, oh God, for keeping us, oh God, for keeping us healthy, oh God, for keeping us sane, oh God, for keeping our minds, oh God, for keeping us unsuicidal, oh God. Now I pray for the suicidal, oh God, for the people who are thinking on hurting themselves, oh God. I pray that you send your spirit to them right now and speak to their hearts, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let them know that they are loved. Let them know that they have strength. Let them know that this too shall pass, oh God, for we know that in a time of trials and tribulations, people begin to not think on good things, oh God. Give them good things to think on, oh God. Bring back to their remembrance what you've done for them, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, allow them to stand up and give you all glory and honor, for they know that it was you that saved them, oh God. They know that it will be you that set them free, oh God. Break every chain, oh God. Break every shackle, oh God. We right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, and we will give you
glory. We will give you honor. We will adore you. We will lay down before you and praise and worship you, oh God. We love you, oh God. We adore you, God. We give you all glory and honor, oh God. We pray now for this ministry, oh God, for this seed that you have given us, oh God. We pray now, oh God, that you continue to flourish it, oh God, so that it can continue to grow, oh God, that it can continue to spread the gospel across nations, oh God, through airways, oh God. We thank you now for the laborers, oh God. We praise you now, oh God, for everything that is going on in the house, oh God. We give you glory, oh God. We adore you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God, for you are an awesome God and a mighty God, and we acknowledge you in our lives as Savior and Lord of Jesus Christ, oh God. We love you today, oh God. We love you, oh God. We can't make it without you, oh God. We owe you another praise, oh God. We look to the hills from which cometh our help, from our help cometh from you, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, for the strength that you are pouring out right now, oh God. We thank you now, God, for the comfort that you're giving us, oh God. We thank you for that joy that is chasing us down, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you for killing our enemies and allowing us to be able to reach, God. We thank you now, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. How we love you, oh God. How we adore you, oh God. How we magnify your holy name, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, now I pray for the word that is to come forth, oh God. I pray that it be thrown on fertile ground, oh God, that we take this word, oh God, and we run with this word, oh God, that we take this word and we hide it in our hearts, oh God, so that we might not sin against you, oh God. I pray now for the woman of God that bring forth the word, oh God. Let her hear from you, oh God. Let her speak your word to the people, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, let your spirit fill our hearts, oh God, as we listen to the word of God bring forth, oh God. Let it touch our souls, oh God. Let it stir something up in us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God. Thank you for this time of prayer and praise and worship and coming together to give your name holy and wonderful praise, oh God. Thank you for allowing us to go forth before the throne of grace, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for this time, oh God. We will rejoice and be glad, oh God, for you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we love you, oh God. We adore you, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We truly thank God for the fervent prayer of the righteous. The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we just wanted to take some time tonight to go before the Lord God, before his presence, and just to honor him and just to give him thanks. We are so blessed tonight. We have with us my friend and my sister, Elder Catherine Brown. She is an anointed woman of God. She is a hard-working woman. She's a woman that loves prayer. She loves to praise. She loves to worship. Most of all, she loves the word of God. She loves God, and she loves the people of God. She is a very active member of the New Hope Mission, St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. I'm giving you away, Elder. She is a member of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church under the leadership of Pastor Craig L. Brown, right here in the City of Roses. St. Paul is located at 8101 North Fisk Avenue. And I know that as soon as the doors open up, we'll be ready to have some good church. Amen. As the old folks used to say, do some Rock Daniel. But if you want to catch them, they're on Facebook Live every Sunday morning. You can catch them. Elder Brown records, and so many other of them record. And you are welcome to join them on Facebook Live. After this song, the next voice you will hear will be that of Sister Catherine Brown. I hope you get your pen, your pencil, your Bible ready, because it's word time, my brothers and sisters, and you are going to be in store for a treat.
We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. the going down of the same. We worship you, we worship you, oh God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And praise God, everyone, on tonight. I give God praise and thanks for just being here on this virtual ministry with each and every one of you. I thank God for you, Pastor Kim and Pastor Sherelle. And, of course, we join you in appreciating and thanking the Butterfield for this, what I like to now refer to as a pre-COVID-19 virtual platform, because you've been in place before. The rest of many of our churches have went to the airways and to digital and to technology to spread the word of God. But what a great God he is that he allows us to gather and assemble in this place. And, of course, I want to acknowledge my own pastor, Craig Brown, and the St. Paul family on tonight. And I just thank God that he will get the glory out of each and every one of our lives and out of this season that is writing history in our own lives on the heels of how God is going to yet keep and deliver us in the midst of this pandemic. Tonight, I'm going to speak primarily from the book of Acts. God has really been dealing with me on this message. I have to admit, I was struggling trying to land where I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to be. And as we think about being the first week in May, I've been working remote at home for 7 weeks, and many people are sheltering in place or working remote. Many people have even lost their jobs. Many churches are closed, and yet God has opened up creative ways for the Word of God, which will never be stopped, to go forward anyhow. And where I landed at tonight is in the book of Acts. I'm going to be in chapter 2, verse 36 through 40. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation tonight. I like this translation over several others that I looked at, but I think as we are in the month of May, and certainly this is the month of where churches everywhere around the world will be focused somewhat on the ascension of Christ and on Pentecost, the ascension 40 days after the resurrection, and Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection of our risen Savior. And it's interesting, as I think about what this message says then, how it applies, I believe, to us tonight. And it reads, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God.' Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise, church, is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God.'" Praise God, for the word of God is blessed. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing day and this amazing time that we live in. We thank you, God, for continuing to be our refuge, our strength, our joy, and yes, God, our ever-present help in good times and, of course, in these trying and perilous times we live in. God, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for never leaving nor forsaking us. I thank you, God, for all of the circumstances, even going on in the world today, for our hope and our trust remains in you. And God, I'm praying tonight, oh God, and touch in agreement with the prayer that went forth for all of those, oh God, on the front lines, all of those ministering care to those directly impacted by the current pandemic, oh God, and for comfort of the sick and those left grieving the sudden loss of loved ones. God, we believe that you will redeem all that you allow to happen, and we pray, God, for your cure. So, God, move Catherine out of the way. Holy Spirit, take full control and have the message that you want declared to go forth, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you will bless the hearers, the messenger, and the message, oh God, for your glory and for our good. And, Lord, as I always request, Lord, I pray that your word does not return void. In the all-powerful and matchless name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. I wanted to just real quickly lay a brief foundation in the book of Acts. I'm not sure who's in listening tonight, but as I was studying and preparing and seeking God and saying, why are you leading me to this passage? Because I thought I wanted from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, you know, who do you say I am? But God kept directing me back to this passage. And as I was looking at the book of Acts, many translations call it the Acts of the Apostles. It's attributed to Luke, and Luke is the same writer of the Gospel of Luke. He's only mentioned three times in the New Testament, but he was a Gentile, not a Jewish person. He was a close friend and a traveling companion, and interestingly, a personal physician of the Apostle Paul. And we are hearing lots from the medical profession, the scientists and the epidemiologists and the doctors, And it's interesting that God led me to this book that was written by a physician nearly 2,000 years ago, a physician who wrote a narrative of the things that Jesus had accomplished during his earthly ministry, and importantly, emphasized that Jesus of Nazareth was in fact Israel's long-awaited Messiah. Luke shows the gospel is offered not only to the Jewish people, mostly that were assembled at Pentecost when this message in Acts went forward, but stresses that the work of the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned over 50 times in the book of Acts, and in fact many would say that the book of Acts could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, since the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the sovereign one that is doing the work far more than that of any man. The Acts shows the Holy Spirit is the one directing, controlling, and empowering ministry that is strengthening the church and that caused the church to grow in number and in spiritual power and in influence. And I say glory to God for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the one that struck the match in Palestine that would eventually ignite the whole world. And I think the redeemed of the Lord ought to say amen right there, because the church today, even in this pandemic, is a little bit like the church then that was under persecution, where, you know, every business is talking about reopening, and around nations and states and cities and towns, we begin to hear how certain businesses are going to be reopened. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed as I occasionally went out and driven around, there's a lot of businesses that are open, the pot shops, the liquor stores. There are some places of ill repute. There are many places that are open, but how dare, yes, even the civil authorities to ask the church to remain closed. The devil is a liar. We know that the church of God, the praying church of God, the saved church of God, these are the ones that are left, the remnant, the ones that are in the world to pray and to intercede and to do what we find Peter doing in the book of Acts. And I can understand why people are spending a lot of time talking about the pandemic and what's happening now with COVID, because of the pain and the suffering and the uncertainty and the fear and the anxiety and, again, the concern about this invisible enemy that seeks to dare to paralyze the abundant life that God desires his creation to enjoy. The sickness, the illness, the disease, joblessness, homelessness has put some in a state of paralysis. And now, understandably, we're beginning to look at comparisons between what we are going through now with COVID-19 and the Spanish flu in 1918, or the swine flu, or AIDS, or SARS, or Ebola. Church, over the ages, we can go right back to the Exodus when God allowed plagues to come upon the land of Egypt in order for Pharaoh to people of God go free. So whether the plagues are called down, or pestilence or viruses are called down by God, or whether it's an act of Satan, I don't know, and I'm not here to preach that, because I trust in the one who do know. God does know what's behind all of this. But it's interesting that as we look at all of these things over the ages, as they say, there's nothing new under the sun today. We have, since the fall and since sin has entered into humanity, been subject to all of these things, including the last enemy that was defeated by Christ, which was death. So I don't know, but I do know that why it's here, but I do know that God will keep, sustain, protect, and deliver us nevertheless. And so as we look a little deeper into the passage on tonight, I pray with the help of the Holy Ghost that we will all be greatly encouraged as we move from this post-Easter resurrection period, where we reflect back on the ascension and Pentecost back then, and is set before the church today, to what we see now and ahead of us. And if I had a title for the message tonight, it would be divine redemption. It's still available to all. Divine redemption is still available to all. The first thing I see in this text tonight is, as we see Peter, our brother in the Lord, right? He's coming in this section of the scripture. He's coming to a close in his first sermon. It starts in verse 14 of chapter 2. Hallelujah. Peter is preaching with boldness and authority on the day of Pentecost. Peter is preaching what he knew was true about Jesus Christ, and he knew it was true from his own personal experience and as revealed to him by God our Father. For Peter was an eyewitness, who was with Christ, but also we go back and we see that in Matthew, in fact, in all four of the Gospels, we see that when Jesus Christ asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is, Peter is the one that replied in Matthew 16 and 16 and Mark 8 and 29 and Luke 9, 20 and John 6 and 69, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus commended him and said, it was my Father in heaven that revealed that to you, Peter. Man, mortal man, did not reveal that to you, but my Father revealed it to you. And the gates of hell are not going to overpower the church. And so for today, church, we need to remember that we need to preach the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the one and the only one under whose name all men, women, boys, and girls must be saved. Salvation that's needed in this sin-sick world will only come through the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. Peter tells it clearly. And when Peter spoke the truth, it says in verse 37 of Acts, 2:37, that these words that Peter preached pierced their hearts. It convicted them. It cut through and allowed those that were gathered, those that were assembled, to know the truth of the condition that they were in, and that the only hope that they had going to be found in what Peter was telling them. The truth of God, when the word of God goes forward with power and with authenticity, when we dare to preach what the Bible says and not water it down and not color code it and not be politically correct. When we say what God said, and his word is spirit and truth, and his word is life, and salvation only comes through the hearing of the word, we recognize that we must, in this season, more than ever, preach the truth that men and women, boys and girls, who were like I was one day, lost and didn't even know I was lost, living in my sin lifestyle, totally unaware until someone dared to invite me to a worship service where the word of God from the Bible was being preached. And I'll tell you, I ran out of that house of worship convicted, crying, broken, and really reflecting now on how these people that were gathered must have felt, because I wanted to know what I want everybody that I encounter. I want them to know and to ask, what must I do to be saved? Because when that conviction that the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit, that the Comforter, that the third person of the Trinity, the one who Jesus told the disciples in the first chapter of Acts to wait in Jerusalem until God sends the promised gift of the Holy Spirit that would baptize them with fire, this gift, this promise that Jesus, before he ascended, said, wait until you receive it. And look at God. Here Peter is 10 days after Jesus told them to wait on the 40th day as he was beginning to ascend, receiving the Holy Spirit and preaching the truth of God. So the first point is preach the truth of God. Divine redemption is still available if we dare to preach the truth that Jesus Christ is the answer to the world today, that he's the Lord and the Messiah, the one who died for our sins. The second point I see in the text tonight, and it blessed my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Peter says in verse 38, now that you know, now that your hearts are broken, now that your hearts are open, now that you're ready to receive the antivirus, the antidote, the antidote, the answer, Peter replied, you must repent of your sins and turn back to God. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He's talking about a baptism that only will forgive us of our sins to receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, the seal that lets us know that we truly are children of God. The second point is repent. We must dare to preach repentance, that people still need to turn back to God. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit today if you don't repent and turn to God. Put your trust and faith, as Pastor said in the introduction to tonight's worship. You got to trust in Jesus and know that the work that he did on that cross, that he paid that debt that I owed, that you owed, that every sinner that is now a son of God owed, yes, we did. We owed it, as Peter lines it out, that we too, as sinners, we weren't there at that time 2,000 years ago, but Jesus Christ died for all of our sins, for all humanity, for all ages, for all time. And so in order for people to enjoy this gift, this promised gift that left Peter with such power that he dared to stand up and preach that word, he filled him with the Holy Spirit, because we know in looking at the scripture that Peter, like us, had denied Christ. Peter denied Christ three times. And yet Christ forgave Peter, that Peter had an assignment as a person, as a man of God, as a preacher, as a disciple, as a follower of God, had an assignment to take care of the sheep, to speak the truth to the sheep, the flock, the ones that God was calling back to himself. And since we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we must repent and we must preach repentance and we must pray for the Holy Ghost to fill every born-again believer. We must be born again. People must decide who they're going to serve. Are they going to serve God when you were lost, the idols of this world? All the things that even in the church, as we're in our virtual ministries right now, we reflect on what are the things that we're doing in the church that we need to not do anymore. What are the things that we are doing now that are hitting people? People are being saved by the word of God going across on Facebook and Instagram and virtual prayer lines. People are giving their life to Christ because they're being invited on the heels of the preaching of the work and person of Jesus Christ to come into this great family of faith. This final point that I want to make in the interest of time, hallelujah, is for the church of God. Hallelujah, God. I feel like God has been telling me, like he preached through Peter back in Pentecost, at Pentecost over 2,000 years ago, that the way the church had been handled, the way that Jews and the Gentiles and different people from different backgrounds and some of the things and traditions that they believed in and that they were holding to, Peter broke it down and made it plain. And he basically said, you need to recognize promised Holy Spirit is for everybody. So haters, there's no place in the kingdom of God for hating, for holding on to any kind of ism or stigmatism, excuse me, racism, hatred, all of these denominational things that separate people that God has called to be saved. The promise, he says, is to you, believers, to you, Church of God, to your children. Don't you want your whole household to be saved? Don't you want your children to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Don't you want everybody that you encounter, everywhere you go, to get this gift of salvation? Jesus didn't want to see any perish. He came to seek and save the lost wherever they were at. He went there. And we are finding, church, today that if they close the church down, then you might have to get into Target. You might have to go to the liquor store. You might have to go to, yes, the pot houses. We might have to go to places, not just virtually. We need to think and pray to God. How do we reset this thing so that we can fulfill the work that Christ left us here to do? In the book of Acts, it talks about the acts of the apostles as empowered by the Holy Ghost. We need to be refilled. We need to trust that God will redeem all that he allows. We need to trust that God's salvation are for those that are outcast, for those that are on the deathbed. Yes, maybe we need to be around the hospitals and praying and walking seven times and anointing doors. I don't know the answers, but the Holy Ghost knows and will direct us into the place where ministry needs to go in this 21st century so that we can take away whatever the reset is that the church needs, that the trust that God has placed in us as the ones that Jesus Christ said would be left and would do greater work, that we, like the apostles, like the Acts of the Apostles, filled with the Holy Ghost, would be empowered to do ministry that's relevant, that is going to save the souls that God, from the very foundation of the earth, has declared shall be saved. And Peter continued preaching and says, for a long time, strongly urging everybody that would listen, you need to save yourself from this crooked generation. Pastor Kim, you said it at the beginning, or someone said it in prayer. Look at all the stuff that is going on now that people are sheltering in place. Domestic abuse, sexual abuse, addiction flaring up. Oh, God, have mercy. It is a crooked generation. It is a perverse, fallen humanity. But these are the very places where the Church of God can perform the work that Christ left us to do. That's what God left us to do. God wants us to preach the truth and let the world know that Jesus is still saving souls every day. He paid the price, and now he wants to have everyone that he has called to be saved come to him. We are vessels that are being used to bring them to the King, and we need to make sure that we do our job in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Cleansed and consecrated. Not perfect. God's using our imperfect selves, but he does want a consecrated church that can witness to a world that needs to come out of sin just like we did. And even though we may slip and fall, our lifestyles and the testimony that we present to the world is still God's purpose as it was from the beginning, that we should be a praise in the earth to the glory of his name for the salvation of the souls, so that that great day when we can see what the Lord has already said, like John when he was on Patmos Island, John was not stopped from the word of God going forward and still saving souls. A church door being closed is not an excuse for the word of God to be hindered or limited. He's in the jail cell, in the prison, in the hospital, in the sick bed, in the store, at work, in my house, in your house. He is in the sanctuary of our heart, waiting for us to do what he left us here to do. This is the word of the Lord for the Church of God. I pray that God uses us and blesses us for the glory of the soul to be added to the church in this pandemic, in this spiritual awakening that God is using to reset and revive his church. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Elder, such an awesome, mighty, powerful word from God. You know, you said some things that resonated with my spirit, and for the last couple of months, I've been talking to the Greater St. Stephen's Church family and talking to my colleagues at Warner Pacific about the church becoming the little church growing to become the big church. We need to stop being the little C and become the big C. And you said something tonight that I just kind of want you to just take a few minutes to smooth it out for us. You said there's some things that we've been doing that we need to stop doing because we've learned that during this time of being in this pandemic, God has given us creative ways to reach the masses. So kind of share with us as an individual, what are some of the things that you've noticed in your life that you did before March the 1st that you thought were helping you be the big C when reality it was causing us to be the little C? Can you share a few things?
Yes, Pastor. Amen. One of the things I found is that we were so busy 24/7, 365, always busy doing something. And now all of those things that we were busy doing as we're sheltering in place or working remotely, all that stuff has been stripped away. But yet,
right.
The thing to focus on when we are in ministry, are in the church, are these things that Peter was preaching about at Pentecost. We're talking about Jesus and what he did and who he is and what he can still do. There's a lot of extra programs that we have on our church docket. And I know that through fellowship, iron sharpening iron, we love one another. We love to be together and we fellowship and all that's all good. But there's some things that have not happened I honestly don't miss. And I quite frankly really don't see a need for things that are not really centrally flowing in love and flowing and lifting up the Savior who alone can deal with the ills of humanity. So for me, I'm just seeing that being in the presence of the Lord to be filled with the Spirit so that I can say something that gives life intentionally at work where, for example, there's a separation of church and state. You're not supposed to evangelize or proselytize at work. But you know what? What I'm finding is words I'm speaking to my colleagues are the words of God. And there's power. I'm not saying I'm taking this from John 3:16. I'm saying I know that God is able. I know that God is present. I know we're going to make it through this. And people are coming out of the woodwork at work who you either, A, never knew believed in God because nobody wanted to talk about it at work, or was saying, I really needed to hear that. I was afraid. I was fearful. I was anxious, but I don't feel that way anymore. So I just believe that if we do more of what Jesus said do in the scripture, and without accusing one another of being so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good, I'm not in agreement. I think that adage that a lot of people say. Right now, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, I just don't know how I would make it. I don't really know how to really make it. So if we don't, to me, yes, in the house of worship, we declare Jesus and all that we've got, this and on, but do we really need 2.5 hours when maybe you go in for what we're doing now and then you go out into the highways and the byways, and the people are dying. People are dying.
Yeah.
They're living in fear. They're living without the Lord. They're things, all the things you said. I read an article about the sexual abuse. I'm like, God, this is the condition of humanity, and the only thing that will set people free and heal them and deliver them from that is the Word of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. If they don't get it, we're not in. So for me, Pastor Black, I'm asking God, you know, even in 7 weeks of being home, have I spent the time doing the things that I need to be doing? I know we can redeem the time, but time is winding up. People are perishing. Jesus ascended, and he said, y'all go do this work. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. Get it done.
Yeah.
And so I like empowerment. I feel that our worship, when we come together, I feel more of the presence of the Holy Spirit than I ever have at any time in my life. And I pray that the more of what every church is doing and receiving so that we can have the power to do what Jesus left us here to do.
Amen.
I don't know if that
Amen. Means. Yes, ma'am. It did. It brought us to this place of us doing what we're supposed to be doing privately, so that when we get together corporately, we can be the big C. We've been the little C before. We've been the little C for over 2,000 years. We've been the little C, but now God is shaking up the church, not St. Paul, not Greater St. Stephen, not the Light of the World, not Greater Solid Rock, not Imago Dei. He's not shaking up that church. He's shaking up you and me. He's waking us up, and he's saying to us, it's time to answer the call to be busy being about my Father's business. So thank you so much for sharing that word with us. The responsibility is for us, because we are the only Bible that somebody would ever read. And so I hope and pray tonight, my brothers and sisters, that you have been blessed by the word from Elder Catherine Brown. She said some things tonight that I hope and pray stick with you, and that you will apply to your lives, and that we would all apply to our lives to make sure that when we come out of this thing, we come out being the salt and the light that God purposed for us to be, and remembering that God is in the midst of us. So thank you, Elder Brown, for that word tonight. She said, preach the truth and repent. And then she said, be busy being about our Father's business. You might not can go outside right now, but there's text messaging, there's phone calls. You can even write a letter to somebody to let them know that you love them and that God loves them and that God is always there with them. There's so many creative ways. We've got Facebook, we got Instagram. So there's so many ways that we could spread the gospel. You know, I saw somebody put a post on Facebook, and they was like, please don't put nothing else about COVID-19 on my feed, because next year I don't want this to come up as a reminder for me. We've got enough of it. Now let's start preaching the gospel. Let's start sharing prayer time. Let's start sharing our Bible study, our personal tips, so that others will be fed and others will come to know the Lord. Thank you again, Elder Brown, for that word. And before we go, I just want to remind you, this Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m., we will be hosting a National Day of Prayer. This Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m., right here at the Light of Portland broadcast, Pastor Sherelle and I are working expeditiously to make sure that we have the prayer warriors on the line, ready to bombard heaven as we pray for the churches, the government, our families, education, businesses, military, and the media. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for tuning in to the Light of Portland. It has been my pleasure to serve as your host. Remember that God is calling for a church that has no blemishes, no wrinkles, or any such thing. And guess what, my brothers and sisters? You are, I am that church. So thank you. And we love you.
and there's nothing you could do about it. Until we meet again, may the peace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us, hence now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.